Hello everyone and welcome to the Photographer's Guide. My name is Austin, also known as Lance Sensei on the internet. And welcome to the Photographer's Guide. Today I'm coming to you live from my car. Not really live, but I'm coming to you from my car because I have some experiences I want to tell you about. And this is the only time that I can find time to do this. So if you hear some clicking in the background, some cars honking, or some different announcements, please ignore them. Here we go. So, as you know, the listeners of this podcast, which I'm pretty sure is just my mother at the moment, I am an amateur photographer. I'm not even that good. I'm slowly learning more tricks, and I'm learning how to take better photos. I'm learning as I go, and I wanted to share my progress with everyone to hopefully help other people who are learning how to be photographers. I want to help other people grow as well. So that's why I started this podcast. So yesterday, I had the opportunity to hang out with a professional photographer. A rare opportunity that we're living where I do, which is, you know, the sticks in the middle of nowhere. It's a rare opportunity. There's plenty of studio photographers that I guess you could consider professional, but they never change the setup of their cameras. They never experiment. They never do anything. They have a setting and they have a studio. All they change is posing people, which, don't get me wrong, is professional photography, but it's one level of professional photography, and I want to experience many different levels of professional photography. So yesterday I got to hang out with a world-class photographer. Why I say world-class photographer, because this gentleman has been around everywhere. He's been to 2 or 3 different continents, and he's been to like 12 or close to 20, I think, countries. So I know he's been to Brazil, London, Tasmania, Australia, America, and South America. He's been to many different places, and he's photographed for these places. So this gentleman is Chiharada Tetsuro. Chiharada. So without the accent, it's Chiharada Tetsuro. He is a photographer that's been doing this for about 35 years. He's got 30 years of experience on me, which is awesome to sit down and talk with him. I should work alongside him. So I want to give a little bit of background about him before we get into what exactly went on. So I'll dip down into his profile just a little bit. However, if you want to learn more about him, you can go to his profile, his gallery, and learn more about him. He does have, it's mostly in Japanese, however, there is some English here and there. So he started his photography journey right outside of high school. He was telling me last night that I asked him, how did he get his start? Why did he start photography? And he said, when he was a kid, he wanted to see the world. He wanted to experience everything around the world. And he looked at all these different jobs that could take him around the world. Businessman, or, you know, CEOs, you know, stuff like that. Flight attendant. And he thought those were good career paths, but they weren't something that were really going to let him experience culture. He would be stuck to that job. So you go to a business overseas, you're stuck in that business, and only when you have time off can you go walk around and see the world. Or if you're a flight attendant, you're stuck in the airports most of the time. You have maybe a weekend or maybe a week here and there to go see things between flights. And so he saw that being a cameraman would give him the opportunity to be able to go to places, sit down, really experience the culture, see the people, see the sights, the sounds, the smells, the tastes, everything else. So after high school, he went into what is called a Senmongakko, which is a specialized school for photography. So right off the bat, he has more experience than me. He's been taught. I'm self-taught. Everything I've learned from, Digital Revolution, Jace Jarvis, and, any manual I can find online. So he had that training. He went to a four-year university, got his degree in cameras, and that's where he got his start. Now, one thing that was interesting that I have to point out is he's a Canon photographer, which is, Canon's top class. I mean, Sony's coming up, but Canon, especially here in Japan, Canon is top class. And then it goes Nikon, then Sony, then there's Fujifilm, Pentax, and all that. And the reason that Canon is top class, and the reason that he was started on a Canon, this goes back to a little bit of history about the photography companies here. If you want to learn more, you should definitely Google this, but for more in-depth information. However, around what, World War II, obviously Japan just got annihilated. We here in Japan, everything had been bombed and burned to a crisp, and the companies were going through transitions. And at that time, the biggest manufacturer of cameras in Japan and the world actually were Nikon and Kodak. Kodak was just film, sorry, but so it was Nikon. And Canon was behind it, kind of the opposite of today. So what happened is, after World War II, everything was coming back, and slowly in the 1960s, 1970s, everything was slowly coming back into fruition in Japan, and technology was bouncing back. So Nikon was established, and it kind of just stayed where it was. It didn't take advantage of, absorbing other companies or taking over the market. And because of that, Canon was able to expand and take over and get the newest technologies that Nikon did not. And that's how Canon took over the market. So when Chiharada-san was in film school, most of the cameras used were Canon, from what I understand. And so that's why he's a Canon shooter. So that's why, if you come to Japan, I think Canon is the most popular. I think it's the most popular around the whole world. And I think in Japan too, Canon seems to be the top class. Although I'm a Nikon photographer, because that's all I've ever shot. Although I'd like to be able to mess around with, other cameras outside of the camera stores. So if anyone lives in the Miyagi area and has some things that, has some other cameras I can mess with and play around with, I'd love to. So, anyways, so he went to film school and from there became an apprentice photographer, photographer's apprentice. And he did this for... Sorry about that. So, he, for about 10 years, He worked as a photographer's apprentice around, I think he said, Tokyo. And so he was the one who cleaning all the lenses, taking care of making sure all the equipment was dried and put away, and make sure that the tripods were where they're supposed to be, and carrying around all the equipment, doing all this. So he did this for about 10 years before he was able to break off and become a free cameraman. And so from 10 years of working as an assistant, he got a job working for Japan Airlines and some other of the national tourism companies here in Japan that sent him overseas to take pictures of these different places and places around Japan as well. So he used those to go travel around, and he followed his dream. So because of that, he worked for, you know, international companies, national companies, and he did this. He's done this for a good 35 years, and after after he kind of retired, he had his family. After he got married and had a family, he kind of settled down, and he settled down into northern Miyagi, Sendai, because of his family. His wife and his kids ended up coming to a school here in Miyagi, and so he planted himself here in Miyagi. So for the past 10 years, obviously he can't travel around and do documentary film work, so he opened a studio and started taking different kinds of photos. So he's done every kind of photo you can think of, and he's still being hired for magazines. He just went out to do F1 racing in Japan. He's done F1 racing. He just took a profile shot for the manager of the Tohoku Rakuten Eagles baseball team and the manager of the Vegalta 89ers baseball team. So he's well known, well established here. And when I asked him how he got the job here in Sendai, he said it was the hardest thing he's ever had to do, to establish himself in a city, because the city here, Sendai, is so saturated with photographers. He had to really find a way to stand out. And I thought this was really interesting because it really, how did he put it? He put it, this is the Chiharada standard. So he had to create a standard of photography that he wouldn't accept any less of. And this is what people expect when they go to him, which was really interesting to me, because it kind of echoes a point from Gary Vaynerchuk that he said in a podcast of Chase Jarvis's. So in a podcast with Chase Jarvis, he was talking to photographers, entrepreneurs, of how to start their business. And one lady was saying, you know, I like to take pictures of pastries, and I want to know how to become a, you know, professional photographer, and what am I doing? And Gary Vaynerchuk was saying, well, okay, you are currently taking pictures of everything, anything and everything. Well, that's good. You're getting out there. You're getting your name recognized. But if you want to be, you know, a professional photographer, you need to be the photographer. You need to specialize, and you need to specialize in something. So be the best coffee photographer you can be. Be the best something photographer you can be. You know, when people search, you know, when people search the term Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, the one person who should show up needs to be you. Bam, you are the world's leading expert on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or coffee beans. Coffee bean photography, just coffee bean photography. You need to be the number one on coffee bean photography. So it was really interesting to hear Chihara-san talk about that. So that was really interesting to hear that he had trouble, but because of that trouble, wow, he was able to, you know, create his own standard, and now he's the top photographer, if not one of the top two photographers in Sendai. When you in Miyagi, when you search professional photographer Sendai or professional photographer Miyagi Prefecture, one of the first things that will pop up outside of the companies that have millions of different photographers, his name will pop up. Him and one other photographer who they're both friends, their names will pop up. So he's definitely established himself well. So when I got the opportunity to do a photo shoot with him, I jumped on the opportunity. I was, of course, I wouldn't pass this up. So really, I took the day off of work so I could come down and prepare. So I brought all my camera equipment, every single thing I could think of, minus my tripod, because he has, you know, a tripod. But I brought my cameras, so, you know, if he wanted to see what I was using, I could show him. I had, you know, my own photo book, so I could show him and maybe get some advice. I even brought my reflector, just in case, because he said, since I was going to be there, I was going to help him. So I'd be the reflector guy and the assistant. So the day started off with me going to get my haircut, going to, you know, actually look good, since I'm going to be with a professional photographer. And the standard that he has is he's always clean shaving, he's always well dressed on a photo shoot. So I wanted to mirror that. So I got to the photo site first, which is Oz English School in Izumi. So if you're looking to see Chiharada's photos, a couple weeks after this goes up, look up Oz English School Izumi, and you should be able to find his shots, all the profile shots he took, and a lot of the shots within the classrooms he took as well. So they might be up on the homepage. So I got to Oz English School about 2 hours early after getting my haircut and having lunch and taking a nap before, so I could be well rested. I got there and I am the timekeeper. So my job while I was there was to not only carry equipment for Chiharada-san if he needed it to, it's a small school so it didn't really have to carry much, but also keep track of the time. So he was going to go to all the different classes in 15 minute increments because the teachers switch, so make sure that he takes pictures of all the different teachers. So I got there and I took down notes, and then Chiharada-san came. He came in a giant Toyota truck because he had so much equipment. So he parked his car and I grabbed the reflector, which is about, I would say, 4 times bigger than my reflector, which is awesome. I had to use 2 hands to hold it. And his tripod, which he used for profile shots, brought him in and he immediately got to work. He put down all of his stuff, which he had. He had two bags, one laptop bag, one laptop Manfrotto bag, and one backpack with his lenses in it and his cameras. He brought out two cameras, a Canon, 1DX and a Canon 6D. And the primary lenses he brought out were 70-200 for the portrait shots, and a 24 to 70 lens for within the classrooms because they're so small. He needs a wide lens. I think he also had a wider lens, but I didn't check that. So he brought all this stuff in, and it was interesting to see him talk with the school teacher, the head teacher, the owner, because she brought him in and said, thank you for coming in. We really appreciate you coming in. And he said, of course, yeah, no problem. So what kind of shots are you looking for? And she bounced, she said, okay, we want these kind of shots. And then Chihara-san went to each classroom and he said, all right, well, look, I think I like what you're thinking, but I know that these kind of shots would work best. So he pulled out his phone and pulled out a shot list of ideas he already had. So he had prepared things that he shots that he had taken before, and he was able to show, you know, okay, having the students in this configuration and the teacher over here has worked really well in the past, and having, you know, putting people on the floor here or doing things in this seating area has worked really well, so I can take these kind of shots and I think it would work best for the kind of things that you want. And it was really interesting to hear him. He was obviously, with 35 years of knowledge, super knowledgeable about what kind of atmosphere the shots were going for and what kind of setup there was best for what the client wanted. So that was really interesting to see how well researched and prepared he was before going in. And so he was able to use the ideas of the teacher, head teacher, and use his own ideas and create, kind of have a shot list set up in his mind. So after figuring out the kind of shots that were best, he just took a mental note and then popped his phone back in his pocket, took out his two cameras, and took only one test shot to get his settings correct. And he never touched the settings after that I could see. And so it was amazing to see, just one click and he had everything right on. You know me, I take about one shot and I take two or three shots to make sure everything is correct. I take one on auto just to see what the levels are, then I set it into manual and I change everything there to set the ISO, the f-stops, and the aperture to how I think it should be. He did it in one shot, which is amazing to me. And another thing that really isn't amazing, but I mean, for me, I think this is normal, to be in manual focus. Everything's in manual. So he never uses the auto. He never seemed to use the auto. He always had his hand on the lens and was twisting the dial. So right away he got his settings correct. Then we went outside, and he made the suggestion that taking shots outside with a green background would be better than taking shots inside with a white background, because it's kind of dull and it gives more of a happy feeling, a really an uplifting feeling, instead of like a funeral feeling or a, you know, very serious feeling. And this is an English school for kids, and it needs to be happy and show, you know, everyone's really good and really interested in their job. So he took everyone outside, and there was one single tree, and he had everyone stand about, I'd say, about 5 feet in front of that tree, 4 to 5 feet in front of the tree, and then he took his 70 to 200 lens and stood about 10 feet away and zoomed in to really get that background to compress. And it had begun to rain, so he took out his scrim and had me hold it up over the teachers to not only protect them from the rain and make sure that there's no rain falling on them, but also to soften the light. And he took the shots, and they came out wonderful, of course. And that's the first time I've seen the 780-200 being used, and really see how the compression works. So it was really nice to see, really interesting. So he really knew exactly what the teachers needed to do, how they needed to pose, where they needed to point their faces and their chins and their chest, and he directed them. And the way he talked to people, he used his English, saying, "Smile. Ah, good, good, good job, good job." And really, you know, he was really light and really got everyone laughing and really got everyone to enjoy the moment, which is really nice to see. He wasn't dancing around, he wasn't doing anything else, he was just using very simple, you know, he was just light and airy, and because of that, everyone around him seemed to be light and have a good time. And then after all the teachers were done, we went inside, and this is where it was really interesting, because, you know, he would, for the most part, he was standing on the side, but in between classes, you know, he would watch the class, and then every once in a while talk to the kids and say hi to the kids. And then when he entered the classes, this is what was interesting to me. So all the teachers knew that he was coming, and all the students knew that he was coming as well. So he, you know, of course, came into the class and said hello to everyone and then sat down. And he didn't move, really. For the most part, because the shots that he was going for, he knew exactly what he was going for. He knew the angles to go with. So he would pretty much pick maybe three angles. So he was standing at one side of the classroom table, and the students were on the other side with the teacher. And he moved the kids every once in a while, like, "All right, guys, you guys are too far away. Move closer together so I can get a good shot of you interacting with the teacher." But then after he did that, he kind of just moved from one corner to the other, and that was it. He didn't go behind the teacher, he didn't do anything else, he just stayed in that position, which was really interesting to me. Just because, you know, I personally would be shooting from behind the teacher, I'd be getting over the shoulder shot, and thinking back, looking at that, that would be really intrusive, and that would be really distracting to the kids. And Chihata-san made himself known, you know, said hi to the students, said hi to the teacher when he came in, and then that was it. And as time went on, as the outside light died out, he needed to use his reflector. So I popped out my small reflector, because he has a giant reflector that took up literally the whole room, the whole length of the room, which was a full body portrait shot reflector. And I had a small one that I use for product photos. So I pulled that out, and he was able to just use that and pull out his cameras and take the shots. And so he was very unintrusive, which was amazing to see. And with the lenses he had, he was able to get the shots he wanted. And it was such a smooth experience to watch him work. And, you know, there was a group of boys who, he was there for 3 hours, and he took shots of all the students and all the teachers working together. And it was so smooth. He just, you know, said, "All right, guys, let's move you here," and then didn't say anything else. And he clicked away. And every once in a while, he would you know, laugh with the kids, or he would say, "Wow, that's amazing," to encourage them and make them feel better, which was just incredible to see. And at the very end, there was a group of kids who said, "Oh, I don't want to get my picture taken. I'm just gonna make weird faces the whole time." Chihara-san was just like, "All right, make some weird faces. You're okay, and don't worry, I'll take an angle for I can't see you." So he joked with the kids at first, and he started taking some photos. Then he pulled me aside. He's like, "All right, this isn't working. Everything's kind of not working together. So he stopped the class, which, you know, for me personally, I would be afraid to do that, but he stopped the class and said, excuse me, let's change. And he moved the kids so all they're all in one corner, and then they're all on one side, and then the teacher's on the other. So it looked, you know, all the kids were more clumped together and they looked more happy. And as he went on, you know, the kids forgot that he was there, because he only moved them one time, and he really didn't talk to them at all. He encouraged them, said, "Oh, that's very good job, nice job," and clapped his hands when they, you know, got whatever they were doing, whatever game they were doing correct. And then he would be quiet, and he moved only a couple times and used the reflector a couple times. And of course students were interested, but they were more interested in the class, which was interesting. He's literally a shadow. The best I can explain it, he would be a shadow. So that was really interesting to see him work. And then at the very end, you know, he got all his stuff and he said thank you to the teacher and then walked out. And then that was it. He walked into the back room and, you know, I helped him pack up his stuff, and then he pulled out his pamphlet and his business card and folded them up and waited for the teachers to finish, and then talked to them a little bit about, you know, how he can mail the photos or the links. And he's a professional, so he doesn't use Dropbox links. He uses the actual, I use a Dropbox link to give all the photos to the people I take photos for. He has the actual system where, you know, you can go to his website and download things for a certain amount of time and then it'll disappear. So he exchanged emails with the main teacher and then told her, you know, this is what's going to happen, and you'll have about 2 or 3 weeks they'll be on that you can download and choose. And he was going to show the photos right then and there to choose and just give the data to me to convert, but he forgot his card reader, so he's going to have to mail it to her. But that was really interesting to see. He said, "All right, here's, you know, you have, this is my card, this is," he already gave a card to her at one point, but then he gave a card to her again with the actual pamphlet, a flyer, and on the flyer it said, you know, it said exactly where you can go to find your photos. It had a specialty link that isn't on the normal business card. So, you know, for photo clients, you go to this client website, which is really cool. It's a special page on the webpage that I'm not at that level yet. So it was really cool to see. And then at the very end, he thanked everyone, packed up all of his stuff, and, you know, I made sure to grab the reflector, grab the seat, grab the tripod like I did before, and help him out to his car. And as I walked out to him, I said, you know, thank you. It was a real good experience. And he was like, "Oh, I didn't even teach you anything. I didn't tell you anything." I was like, no. There's no one around me that really likes things like cameras and photography. So it was a really good learning experience. And, you know, I was sure to say at the very end, you know, he was talking about helping out as an apprentice. And obviously, I have a job and a family to watch out for, so I can't go apprentice for free like he did. But, you know, I was sure at the very end to be like, "Listen, if you need any help in the future, I'd love to help you out. Give me a call." Boom. So that's an open invitation in the future to him to be like, "Oh, I remember this kid. He's you know, an up-and-coming photographer. He's learning. He's got the thirst. He wants to become a photographer. So maybe I can use this kid, even though I'm not a kid. But compared to him, I'm a kid. He's been doing photos longer than I've been alive." So anyways, it was an amazing experience to hear, and I learned so much. And I even, you know, he even gave me some suggestions about what lenses to use if I want to do events with a very, in very small areas. You know, he told me to get a 16 millimeter lens for something so small. My widest lens is 35 millimeter. He said, well, that's good, but you know, with the crop sensor you have and with the type of photos that you want to take, you should get a 16 mil. That'd really open up the what you can do. So, you know, that might be my next lens I'm investing in. So it was interesting to hear, to see the different ways that a professional works. Not only was he very knowledgeable about the settings of his camera, which is obvious, but about the different types of photos and the different angles that he should take from. And then he was very knowledgeable about, you know, how to interact with people, how to get them to relax, and then how smooth he was on talking about, you know, talking to the teachers about how he was gonna give the photos later and what he was going to do, and he even about what kind of things he's gonna do in Photoshop, like, you know, he was the portrait shots he's gonna do, skin softening a little bit on the portraits, and so it was really interesting, and I really had a great time. So at the end of this podcast, I guess my call to action for you guys who are listening is, whatever you're listening on, if you're able to leave comments or just on social media, I'd love to hear the kind of advice, the kind of things that you've had from working with other photographers, and what advice, you know, might be gleaned from working with pros that might go to help other people as well. And if, here's a question for you, if you could work with any professional photographer you want, let's say alive or dead, so, you know, Ansel Adams or Chase Jarvis or, I don't know, even Kai Wong or Jared Polin or someone else, those are the ones that come into my mind first. That tells you a little bit about the type of photography world I'm in. You know, if you had the opportunity to work with them, what questions would you ask? I spent a good week thinking about the kind of questions I would ask Tejada the Sun. I knew that, you know, don't ask questions that are easily Googled, like, oh, you know, what kind of lens do you use? Because it's on his profile. Oh, what kind of photos do you take? It's on his online portfolio. Oh, where have you shot before? It's on his online portfolio, and if you read anything about him, it's on there. So I was sure to go and really go into questions that maybe people don't ask so much. Why did you pick up a camera? What was your first camera? Do you look up to any photographers? And what photographers do you look up to? And who were your mentors? And, you know, what's the advice you've gotten from them? And, you know, the advice that I got from that, you know, he does have, growing up, his mentors were his teachers. And he has hundreds of photo books that he loves to look at for inspiration. But he was, one thing, you know, going on a little side tangent here, he was talking, I asked him about, you know, what photographers he looks up to. And he was saying, well, you know, of course I look up to people and I have all these photo books, but one thing now with the internet is I can scroll through Instagram or I can scroll through Pinterest and find all these amazing photos. And he said, I'll pin these photos, and so I'll pin these amazing photos, so next time I take photos, I can copy these. And if I can copy these, I'll do some more research and figure out how to do it. And then so in that way, he's still learning even now how, even after 35 years of taking photos, he's still learning new tricks and new things to put into his photography, which was, you know, I guess it's not mind-blowing, you know, listening to, you know, podcasts like the Tim Ferriss Show, Chase Jarvis Live, Gary Vaynerchuk. Everyone's always, the top of the top are always learning. They're not stagnant, which is, of, you know, how do I say, it's, of course, Atari Meyer, you know, you, if you're going to be the top of the top, you can't stop learning. And it was just refreshing to hear that in real life from someone. So if you could ask any questions of your favorite photographers, what would it be? I would love to hear your answers. So if you can leave a comment in the, you know, comment section of whatever app you're listening to, leave a comment. Let's get a conversation going. Or even, you know, DM me on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, mostly Instagram. You can find me at either Lance Sensei, LANTZ SENSI, or SENSEI. Just look up Lance Sensei, Google, and you'll find something of me. Sometimes there's an underscore in there when another Lance Sensei had taken over from, you know, karate or something. So I'd love to get some communication and really see what advice you guys have had and what things you would ask your favorite photographers. And maybe if we talk about this, if we get, you know, if we talk to each other and DM each other, maybe we can get some answers from our favorite photographers if they're, you know, out there listening. So if you like this podcast, you know, give it a thumbs up. If you think someone can learn from it, share this. I want to help other photographers learn from, you know, my experiences and my mistakes. So if you know any photographers that are just starting out, send them this podcast. And, you know, I'm honored that you took some time to listen to this podcast, even though it's, you know, recorded on my cell phone in my car. I'm honored, and I hope that, you know, next time I'll be in your ears, hopefully next month. But, you know, if you like this, give it a thumbs up and share it, and, you know, drop me a DM somewhere. I'd love to talk with you. All right, that is it for this The Photographer's Guide. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.